Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're a thankful people, Lord, that you are here. And Father, we would pray that you would receive full and complete preeminence in this service. And we believe, Father, that we are your children, we're your sons and your daughters. And we've assembled here in the name that you gave us, because you said the whole host of heaven will be named Jesus. And so we've assembled in that name, Lord, knowing that it's your name, and the very name that you gave your Son. And that is why, Father, we see that there's been so much confusion to the people throughout the centuries, is because they don't understand that there's not just one person, one divine being that was named Jesus, but actually he came in his Father's name. And so, Lord, man has looked upon that name, and they have thought it to be the name only of the Son, but not realizing that he came in his Father's name. And so they have misapplied it in so many places, even not knowing who to pray to. And yet, Father, we know that your Son taught us to pray to you. He didn't say pray to him. He said pray to you, but we pray in his name, because that's your name as well, and that's the name you gave him. And so, Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your name and that of your Son. And believing, Father, that your Son was our propitiation, that you gave him, Lord, to us and for us, and it was by him and through him and to him that all things are given. And Lord, we know that we're given unto thee. So Lord, we just commit our growth in our soul. We pray, Father, that knowing we're at the time of harvest, so there's not going to be a lot of growth as far as numbers, but the real growth or the real maturing comes in just laying in your presence. And so, Lord, as Brother Vail mentioned to me the other night, if it's your desire that we just rot right here, and then if that's your desire, then that's what we want to be. And we want to be the best rotter that could be. And so, Lord, help us to have that attitude, because your own Son knew that he had to go to the death on the cross, and yet he went there, Lord, without crying about it, without debating it, whether it was right or not. He just did. He was just an obedient Son. And Father, we just pray you'd help us to have the same attitude. For let this attitude which was in Christ be also in us. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I thought tonight that we might continue in the book of Romans, but I want to go back a little bit into Romans chapter 9. Because we're looking at the subject of twins, and we'll probably be on and off of this as Lord would give us understanding to bring out the different aspects of twins. There's actually very, very many, but there's four major aspects, maybe five, of twins. Number one, there's definitions. You need to understand definitions. What is a twin? And maybe I should just ask you, and then we'll kind of work it out from there. What is a twin? Two? Okay, two what? Okay, what is there about twins? I mean, could you have twins that are from two different mothers? It's not possible, is it? So what is there? Then they both have the same mother. Do they maybe have the same father? That's possible. But not always. Now remember, back in the garden, you had Eve. She had twins, Cain and Abel. And yet there was two fathers involved. But see, one definition you have to understand about twins is that it's always the same mother. Always the same mother. And what does a woman represent in the church? Sorry. I should be your teacher, right? Okay. So a woman always represents the church. So notice then that they're always going to come out of the same revival. So that's the first definition, or the first attribute or characteristic that I want you to really think about, is twins always have to have the same, come out of the same revival, from the same church. Now, what else is there about twins that's you really need to study in order to understand twins? Huh? Go ahead. No answer. Okay. Okay, there's something about them that could be identical or could be very close, very similar. So you're looking at certain attributes which they'll share, right? And yet, there's something that I'm actually kind of driving toward it, but what's dependent upon the amount of attributes that they share? If they both have the same mother, what would have to happen for them to have all their attributes the same? Same genes as their father. Right? In other words, they would have to have the same father in order, if they had the same mother, they'd have to have the same father in order to have everything alike. So what does that tell you about twins? That the characteristics are dependent upon what? Well, the nature, but the nature comes from where? From the source. Sure. So the thing that we want to look at then is we need to examine source. Because if you have twins, you have the church produces twins, produces two different persons, personalities. We'll go beyond that. Because the twins we're speaking of are always represented in the Scripture by good and evil. Okay, so we're looking at twins, not identical twins, but we're looking at twins where there's light and dark, there's good and evil. So when you find a dichotomy of attributes, in other words, attributes at the opposite ends of the spectrum, it points to one thing, source. They have a different source. Because, as Michael brought out, the nature. Now, the nature is a reflector of the life that they have. Right? And if the nature is a reflector of the life, remember in Genesis it says, every seed shall bring forth after its kind. And the word kind means nature. So, if you have, like Brother Branham said, if you've got grapefruit, it's going to bear grapefruit. He said, but the interesting thing is that in this hour, they've learned to graft until you've got oranges growing on the same vine. Well, who is the vine? Christ. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. So, if he is the vine, Christianity then, or the lifeblood of Christ, the Word, is the vine. And we find that this is the hour for the deception, because Matthew 24:24 says the two would be so close, the two spirits would be so close that it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. So, and this is the hour, like Brother Brown said, he was taken to Brother Sherrod's place and they showed him, I think it was like six different things. I think they had grapefruits and oranges and lemons and limes and I suppose tangerines and tangelos or whatever. You know, they had quite a few different things growing from the same tree. And so you've got Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran, you know, all growing from the same vine, which is Christ. Now, what else then is there about we've come to the place of identification we've come to the place of definition first. Definition, what is a twin? Is having the same mother, same church. And what causes a difference between the one twin to the other? It's the what attributes it has, what genes it's reflecting, right? So we get to source. So the other thing then is how then, and we must understand about twins is how is that life perpetuated. Now, if the twins, good and evil, Cain and Abel, had two different sources, Adam, or actually, if I say Cain first, then it was the serpent, and then Adam bringing forth Abel, how then is the seed, how then is the life carried forth through seed? Okay. good thing you're not taking a test tonight. You'd all pass. So then you have to have seed. So you have source. And in order to see that life carry on, you have to have a life carrier. So you have seed. So really what we've identified so far is actually four things. The first is a definition. The second is source. The third is seed. And then the difference is identification. Now, Brother Brown said that Christ is identified by what? His characteristics. Does anybody remember when Brother Brown preached that message? Hearing that message, he talked about the two yellow birds. Remember that? He talked about the, and I don't even remember what the name of those birds were. But I think one was maybe a thrush or something, and I can't remember what the other one was. But Brother Branham said, you know, they look identical in the body. He said, I think there's something maybe about the beak that's a little bit different. But he said, what really identifies them more than just the beak is the flight pattern. He said, one of them takes a beeline and goes from point A to point B and just like a little jet. He said, the other one, it kind of loops. Like this. That characteristic in how he goes from here to there is an identifier of the life that's in it. So it's a characteristic of a little bird that has a twin, but the one bird knows where he's going, makes a beeline to where he's going. He's not up, he's not down. He knows where he's going. That separates him and identifies him as being different from the little fella who's always up and he's down, and he's up and he's down, and he's up and he's down. And so Brother Bennett was using just one little illustration, a little flight pattern, to show the difference between the two lives. So, we're looking at identification then. Now, actually, we could spend literally probably weeks on each attribute, on source, because we could take just one sermon on serpent seed, another one on election to glory. Now, if you have election to glory, you've got to have election to condemnation. You see, a lot of people don't mind you preaching about the bride, you know, the church, but they certainly don't want to hear about the devil or that the devil has a seed. They don't mind saying we're the children of God, but the devil, they don't want to hear about that. It reminds me that I was talking to my boss the other day, and he mentioned that he was talking to his boss. And, of course, my boss is a Baptist, so he believes that there's a devil. And he believes that there's spirits out there. And his boss is Catholic. And most likely more of a liberal Catholic. And so anyway, my boss had made the statement. He said, well, it looks like Satan is alive and well and alive and well in these parts, or something like that. And he said he got the coldest stare from his boss, as if to say, how in the world could you be an intelligent man and believe that there's devils? Well, how can you believe election if you don't believe there's two sides to it? And if we turn to Romans chapter 9, and we'll read verse 1 through verse 24. Paul says, I say the truth in Christ, and I lie not. My conscience also bears me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and whom are concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. For they are not all Israel, which are Israel. Now, what's Paul doing here? But he's saying, look, my heart really goes out for the Jew. Because, let's face it, after all, the Jew was the ones to whom God made the covenant, circumcision. God made the promise of a promised land. God made the promise of the Messiah. And yet he says, we shouldn't lose faith, and we shouldn't lose faith in the fact that they are blind, because he said, not all Israel are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, that at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children be not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It is said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now God hated Esau. Can God change his mind? Peter, can God ever change his mind? Absolutely not. And so if God hated Esau at any time, he always hated Esau. What shall we then say? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? In other words, if God does the hardening, and the person's heart becomes hardened toward God, then the person says, well, hey, I'm just in God's will. I'm doing exactly what he wants me to do. I've got a hardened heart because God hardened it. Who can resist his will? See? How can he find fault with that? I'm doing his will. See? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against a God who is sovereign? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and the other unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And what if he did this, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. In other words, I think, when it comes right down to it, As I said, in order to understand twins, we have to understand four or five basic things. We have to understand the definition of what a twin is. We have to understand that there's a source. We have to understand that there's actually the source of life. There's actually two sources in the twins we're talking about, good and evil, light and dark, wheat and tare. And we have to understand that there is a seed and a seed carrier. And we have to understand identification. What is it that identifies them? And see, we could go for days and days and weeks just in talking about the different attributes that actually set them apart. But tonight we're just going to cover a little bit of this so that you have a basic understanding of it. And I'm sure most of you have a good understanding already, but we're just doing this to kind of lay the groundwork. Okay? But notice, Paul says, if God is in control of everything, and God has mercy on whom He's going to have mercy, and He hardens whoever it's His good pleasure to harden. Then he says, the natural man says, well, hey, who can reply against God? But you see, the fact is that in order to understand the twins, you really have to understand election and predestination. And you have to understand then, if you're going to understand election, and that there's two proponents of election, two halves of the equation, a positive half, a negative half, then you'll have to understand that the word election means what? What does it mean? If I elect, chosen, right? So then if you take a step back and you say, okay, now, in order to understand election, I've got to understand the positive side, glory. I've got to understand the negative side, condemnation, damnation. Now I've got to understand what is election. It's a choosing. Who's choosing? That brings in another doctrine. Who's choosing? Free moral agency? And those who believe in free moral agency to the point where they can place themselves in the election of God, they choose their choice over God's choice. It's just like today. We have all this, you know, women's choice. And what they're doing is they're choosing to have choice, their own choice, over God's choice, His Word, which says, thou shalt not kill. So, what you've got then is a lack of understanding, and you've got a preeminence in choice being placed upon self. Now, the Scripture says, I believe it's in Proverbs, I think around 16, something like that, it says, there is a way which seemeth right to a man, but the way thereof is the way of death. So, a man will always choose what he thinks is right. And by nature, as being a man, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come forth to the world speaking lies, then if he speaks lies, he believes lies, then, as the Scripture says, deceiving and being deceived. So whose choice would you rather have? This brings in vindication. Because God coming down, He vindicates His choice. Whereas man left to himself can only try to work out his own salvation. Now see, you have to bring all those Scriptures together and place them. You know, the person who believes in free moral agency will say, well, see, the Scripture says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And yet the Scripture also says, he which began the good work in you shall... And where's the original? It's back in the Alpha. Your Father. You see, Jesus now is identifying. Notice how Jesus says there's twins involved here. One of the identifiers is that there's no place in the one for His Word. The other, He says, if you continue and abide in My Word, then you're My disciple indeed. Another place He says, if you abide in the Word, the Word abide in you, ask what you will, and it'll be given you. Another place He says, if you abide in My Word, if you keep My Word, then I will come, or the Father will come, and make His abode in you. Now notice, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill Me, because My Word hath no place in you. Abraham's our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill Me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. What's he doing? Don't be afraid to say. What do you think he's doing, Ron? What's he saying? What's he doing with these guys? I mean, what's he, you know, what is Jesus, notice how he's pulling out attributes. So what is he doing by pulling out the attributes? What's he showing? Identification. Jesus is identifying to them who their real father is. You see? But now you seek to kill Me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You claim to be Abraham's children. And if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Your flight pattern would be either this, or your flight pattern would be this, but it would be the same that Abraham had. Now, what was Abraham's flight pattern? Seeking a city to come, whose builder maker is God. He kept looking, kept hoping, kept believing. He didn't stagger at the aging process going on. Like Brother Vail said, if it pleases the Lord for me to just lay here and rot, then may I just lay here and rot, because I know I'll at least be pleasing Him. You see, we need to really come to the place where we're very content that we are in the Word, that we are in the shout. It doesn't matter if this place is filled or not. All that matters is that I am in the will of God, and I am in the voice of God for this hour. And the rest is up to God. If He wants me to lay here in the presence, I know there's only one thing that can happen to me. I will not rot. Because I will ripen, because I have thus saith the Lord. The elect will lay in the presence of the Son and ripen. Now, I've heard it from people outside of, you know, people that were like up in Lima and places like that, that don't believe like we do. And they said, those birds, they're just laying in the presence of the sun and rotting. Now, that's almost a mockery of what the prophet said. You see, because we're not running around, jumping, running the pews. But we're laying in the presence. It's not him that runneth, or him that willeth, but it's God that shows mercy. Noah sat in that ark for 7 long days. How many hours? 154 hours. No, more than that. Yeah, 7 times 24, 154. 154 hours. And I'm sure the minutes seem like days. And the seconds seem like hours. And finally, a little pitter patter, pitter patter, pitter patter, and the rains began to come. And I'm sure that the heavens didn't all of a sudden just open up on that first hour. I don't say I bet you, but I believe that if God changes not, it was more like in the days of Elijah, when a little cloud began to show its head. The people looked at that and said, that is going to bring on the destruction that he talked about? And I can imagine that those walls were not soundproof either. And that Noah and his family sat there in humility, being mocked, the boat being spit on. And the people probably saying, well, we'll make that boat flow away. And everybody started spitting. We'll get enough water to raise that boat. And they all started spitting. And then all of a sudden a drop coming down. That little cloud began to expand itself. We've all seen it. We walked out of here one time, we saw a little cloud. No bigger than your fist, it looked like, in the sky. Within hours, it took up the whole sky and changed the entire atmosphere. But think about that. God always lets you sit. And what appears to be rotting, and yet what's happening? There's a ripening. And you know what? There's something about that ripening. Because if something gets overripe, it does rot. Right? How many ever eaten a banana that's been ripening for too long? It's rotten. How about a pear? I had one the other day. Half of it was ripe. And the other half wasn't so ripe. It was rotten. But you know, didn't he promise us that because of the flesh's sake, he would shorten those days that we would not rot? So you can't, because he's got it all in control. So then don't think about sitting here rotting. Think about sitting here ripening. He's not going to let you get overripe. He's going to take you home. Now John said, you do the deeds of your father. Jesus said, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. That tells you right there that they understood serpent seed. We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear. And Brother Branham said that means to understand. You cannot understand my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him to abide. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now let's go back to this verse of Scripture. Jesus is separating now himself, his source, the seed life that's in him, from them. And he's saying, you know, it all boils down to one little thing. You can't take the word. You can't receive the word. You don't understand the word. Therefore, you don't want the word. In John chapter 3, he says that all that are of God cometh to the light. But these are not of God because they don't come. They won't come to the light. So, we see then that an identification going on. He says, you're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will have to do, because you got to come forth in the image or after the nature of the source life that lays within you. He was a murderer from the beginning, attribute. And he abode not in the truth, attribute. Because there is no truth in him. Now that brings another point. Brother Branham said, you have everything by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have everything in you to put you in the catching away. He said, what is the rapture? We actually mean the catching away. So you have everything in you tonight that you will ever need to put you in the catching away. Let me repeat it. It is not by your works. It is not by how good you can become. It is not by how sweet you can become. It is not by how much of a sweet spirit that you have. It is not how cantankerous you are. Simply one thing. If you have been born again by the Word of God, the Spirit of God, because remember, born again not of corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, that has to be a vindicated word. Because it said, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So I will say this to every one of you here. Whether or not you come to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Sunday, every Wednesday, will not put you in, will not put you out if you've truly been born again. But if you've truly been born again, you'll have a desire to hear the Word. You won't come to church knowing that if I don't come to church, I'm going to miss it. But you come to church, you come to worship God, because there's something in you that hungers and thirsts for more of God. Adding cell upon cell upon cell. Therefore, it takes the motive and brings it back. It takes the motive of fear away. It takes the motive of the chastening of the Lord away. And it puts your motive down, like Brother Brass said, I can do anything I want to do, but my heart's desire is I want to please Him. I want to please Him. That ought to take the fear away. You young kids, I believe, you know, most of you, and I don't know all of you per se, your parents do. Your parents know best if you've truly been born again or not. I believe we have sitting in this church tonight elect families. I believe we've got the cream of the crop in this church tonight, in you kids and in you parents. I really do. And I believe, I can't say every one of us, because I'd actually be stepping forward beyond what Brother Branham did. But my hope and trust in what I see is that we're going in. We're going to cross over. We'll be with each other for eternity. Any little hang-ups we've had in this flesh we'll never have no longer. Any little differences that we ever had in the flesh we'll never have any longer, whether it be between husband or wife, brother or sister, brother and brother, sister and sister, father, children, children to parents. And you talk about a rejoicing. But Jesus here is letting us know that when it comes down to attributes, it doesn't matter how religious you are, because remember, Cain's seed was religious too. Talent has nothing to do with it. You could preach like you're a house of fire. That doesn't mean nothing. The greatest preacher to ever walk in shoe leather, I believe, was William Branham. And yet Brother Branham was not an orator. Brother Branham didn't have some great elocution and homiletics. He couldn't appeal to the masses like Chuck Swindoll or Oral Roberts or Billy Graham. And yet, when I hear his voice, something in me melts. When my kids hear his voice, the squabbling stops. And when the tape's put on at night, there's a real rest and the tremendous atmosphere of Jesus Christ in the house. And you know, it's funny, but I don't get that from Oral Roberts. Never have. Never will. I don't get that from Chuck Swindoll. Never have, never will. Or Billy Graham. Never have, never will. But there's a characteristic there. And Jesus lays out, he says, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth." All those attributes. Because there's no truth in him. Because there's no truth in him. Because there is no truth in him. Now, didn't Brother Branham tell us in Jesus himself in John, I think it's chapter either 14 or 15, maybe 16, where he said the Spirit of truth will come and he will guide you into all truth. And he said, in that day you'll know that I am in you and you in me. I am in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. And so he said, I am the truth, and the truth being in you is the Word of God in you. And yet he says, now I can tell you that you had to be of the devil because there's no truth in you. An identifier, the Word. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you can convince me of unbelief? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God, here it is, he that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not. Now what does the word hear mean? Understand. He that is of God understandeth God's words. You therefore understand them not, because you are not of God. There is your evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Jude. What do we have, about 5 minutes left? Or less? 10? Okay. Jude, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once, in other words, if it was once, it's the only one, for the only faith which was delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men, not every man, but certain men who have crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. In other words, it's not fooling anyone. God said it would happen, and here they are. Ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying or saying no to the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and run greedily after the error of Balaam for a reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Look at the twins he names. And notice how he says, these guys have run in the same attributes as these others. Therefore, that identifies them. These are spots in your feasts of love when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds of doctrines. Trees whose fruit withereth, even without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Again, attributes. What is the fruit? Okay, what is we're teaching. What is teaching? Well, what does the word doctrine mean? Teaching, right? The word doctrine means teaching, right? And if the fruit is the teaching of the season, and these people have no fruit, they have no what? No doctrine. They have no doctrine. You don't have to have doctrine, you just have to love one another. You don't have to have the right doctrine, you have to have the right spirit. Well, let me tell you something. If you have the right spirit, you will have the right doctrine. You see? Notice, without doctrine, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame, their own shame, wandering stars. And Brother Branham, when he defined this for us, he said, I wonder about this, I wonder about that. Wandering stars. Always wondering about this or that. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. What's that? Persons held up for advantage. Politics. These are politically minded. So you'll find that in the twins, the wrong or the bad seed, if we don't call them bad seed, the wrong seed, the dark side, always tend to politics. They always gravitate toward organization. Cain's seed built. They're always the organized bunch, and they always tend to politics. See? Holding men in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. In other words, they're sensate. In other words, as Brother Branham said, they're always dependent upon the flesh, always looking for gain in the flesh, always looking for something in the flesh. He said many times, he said he'd have 30 come to the altar, not a one of them be saved. They're looking for something in the flesh. Like we heard that tape where Brother Branham, he pointed out actually two people on the tape. Two people on the tape. Two of them missed it because they were looking for some feeling and they missed the presence of God and they missed their healing. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, because that makes a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. You realize that statement? He that's able to keep you faultless? Brother Branham said that when God looks upon you, he only sees his Son because you're walking in the light. And he said God has placed your sin so far into the sea of forgetfulness that God can't even remember it. Therefore, it'll never be brought up again. Once placed under the blood, it'll never be brought up again. It's been forgiven. Now, if God can forgive you your faults, your stumblings, your mistakes, would you all forgive one another? Your differences? Your shortcomings? Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we truly, Lord, love you and love each other, Father. And I just pray that you'd help us to look at each other with your eyes. And when I see my brothers and sisters out there, whether they be young or old, may I see the Lamb, the bloody Lamb of your Son. May I see the stripes, and may I see the blood. And may I see sons and daughters of the King. I believe, Father, one of these days soon, my heart's desire would be it would be this spring, because we know your prophet said that there were three watches. The first one beginning at 9 in the evening went till midnight. The second one from midnight till 3. The third from 3 till 6. And he said it'd be after the third watch, because that's the nighttime. He says, I believe that the rapture will take place sometime between 7 and 9 o'clock in the morning. And we find another place, Lord, he said it would happen in the springtime, because that's when resurrection takes place in the earth. Could it be this spring? It is my heart's desire, Father. I pray, Lord, that we've been laying in your presence long enough. I believe, Father, that the ripening is not a rotting. And I believe, Father, that we have been allowed to lay here long enough to recognize that there's no way that we of our own selves can produce perfection. When I was a young man, I was very zealous, and I thought perhaps in this body that I had lots and lots of dedication and lots of energies to become a very much controlled being. I thought perhaps that I could walk in a way which could completely overcome the flesh. And Lord, the older I get, I realize the weaker I become. Sometimes I feel like I don't have the energies to be dedicated. I don't have the energies to be disciplined. Sometimes I feel, Lord, that I've just lost it all, except for one thing. I know it has nothing to do with me anyway, and all to do with the faith of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so I place myself completely, and these your kids, I place them completely upon your mercy and upon the bloody stripes of our brother, your Son, knowing that our eternal destination hangs in the balance between your Son having laid down his life for us or not. And I believe there's not a one of us in here that does not believe with all that lays within him that your Son personally died for them. I believe we all believe that, Lord. And we claim it. Therefore, Lord, I also believe that if we place things under the blood of Jesus Christ, the one that brings them up is guilty of that very sin, as your prophet said. So, Father, I pray that you'd help us to be loving, to be more kind. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to pray for one another. Never, as your scripture says, believing all things, and we are all things in Christ, hoping all things, enduring all things. I pray, Father, that your sweet spirit will come into this church. Not only this church, Lord, but your elect everywhere. That it would so permeate us, Lord, that we'd love to just hear a word from one another. to hear the praise of Jesus and to hear glad tidings and knowing that one of these days our days of labor will be over. These hard-working bodies which have become soft and yet crippled in many ways, and yet we'll have 1,000 years to get to know your Son better, our groom. And we'll have 1,000 years and then an eternity to perhaps spend 500 years just sitting around a rose bush or around a daylily and talking about the wonderful, merciful grace in which you, our Father, have bestowed upon us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand this, twins, not that we could be heady and high-minded, not that we could be condemning those who are not out from you as a source, but, Father, that we could understand, that we might understand the gift that you've given us just to be able to hear and to understand. That we might appreciate the fact that our eyes have been opened and that this is a great gift. May it change the way that we talk and treat one another. And even those, Father, who would be not of our persuasion, but knowing that they show no attributes of your life, may we have mercy upon them as you have shown mercy for 6,000 years and have not destroyed this earth. And may we just, Lord, become ready in our soul for the going home, for we ask it in Jesus' name.